You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
Encounter translates the Greek verb parapipto. It's a compound verb from a preposition peri, it means around, and the verb pipto, which means to fall. I think here the New King James Version has it translated correctly. It says, when you fall into diverse trials. That's a good translation. The picture is of someone walking along, doing fine, and then they just, whoop, they fall down into something, and immediately they're surrounded by something that they did not expect.
Many of us are probably all too familiar with the phrase, not if, but when. While we typically use this phrase in a confident boast or assurance of something good to come, James uses it in the context of trials, struggles, and hardship. In today's message, Pastor Tom reflects on the reality that we as believers are guaranteed to experience challenges in our walk with the Lord. In his study, you'll learn the importance of allowing these trials to strengthen and mature you in your faith, rather than embitter you. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Trials, Pathway to Maturity, Part 1.
The wonderful thing about the Lord is that he doesn't abandon any who call upon him, even in the midst of their troubles, right? Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of what? Trouble. Psalm 142:2, I pour out my complaint before God, I declare my trouble before him. We can go to him. What kind of trial do you think or test James had in mind precisely? Please note a second detail here. And that is the adjective that is attached to trials, and it is the word various. Various. Poikilos. Literally, the word means multicolored. That's interesting. In a figurative use, it came to mean varied or diverse. It's used, for example, in Matthew 4:24 to indicate a broad range of illnesses that the Lord Jesus healed, varied sicknesses. Just as there are a variety of colors, so the trials that we encounter will come in many forms, in many degrees, in many kinds, in many durations, with many faces. They are various. They are multicolored trial. For James's readers in the first century, no doubt, poverty was one of those trials. Verse 9 refers to the poor man's plight, so he had them in mind. In chapter 2 and verse 6, James refers to the persecution of the poor by the rich, dragging them into court, exploiting their weaknesses. And this goes on throughout the letter. Chapter 5, verse 11, you can look at also. We may even conclude that the majority of James's readers there were poor. But that doesn't mean that was the only kind of trial he was referring to. James could have had other difficulties in mind, and I think he did. Difficulties of sickness, which he also deals with in chapter 5. Or people who are neglected and lonely. Loss of comfort, bereavement, natural disasters, which bring all kinds of problems. Even relational issues and problems. And of course, there was bound to be at least some persecution against believers. We don't actually read about any persecution, by the way, in the letter anywhere. It doesn't say that they were being persecuted. But when we cross-reference with Acts and other places, we know that those who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted. We Christians know that we swim against the tide of society, correct? You have enough trial and trouble just when your washing machine breaks and when your taxes go up, right? And then all of a sudden there's someone in the workplace that gives you a hard time because you're a believer, or someone in the family, and you have to add that on top of your other trouble. That's what you've invited because you're a follower of the man who went to the cross. That's what we accept. Not just the effects of a fallen world, but the anger and misunderstanding of unbelievers themselves. This makes it even harder for us. So life presents plenty of trials for believers. Your trial, whatever your trial is right now, is included in this instruction. Third, I want you to notice this, still in verse 2. It says, consider it joy when you encounter trials. I told you every word in here was important. It does not say if you happen to be one of those poor fellows who gets a trial. Tisk, tisk. I just hope I don't end up like that unlucky fellow. No, it says when you get your trials. In fact, in Greek it is haton. It means whenever. It means encountering trials was no theoretical possibility. It was going to happen. And by the way, you cannot pinpoint the arrival of trials by looking into the future, right? 2015 is coming around. What trials are you going to have in 2015? Maybe you know one or two of them. But you probably don't know most of them. You have no idea. You don't have a little schedule that says, well, when you live this year, you'll get this trial, so get ready for it. Then this year, you'll get that. It's just when they happen. Even if you behave wisely, as I noted, you can still get trials. You could be perfect. You could be the Lord Jesus Christ and you'd still get trials, because he did get trials, right? He got a lot. By the way, the you in there is plural. It's a you that's inferred in the verb, and it's plural, and it means all of you. I'm writing to all of you Christians. Trials certainly did happen to them, and they will happen to you. The only question is, when? Listen to Acts 14, 21 to 22. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Yep, another one of those verses you wish was not there. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So I would say, if you're not really interested in this topic, and you've tuned me out up until this very point, because your life is just flying along above all troubles, you're just dishing out Bible verses to people left and right because you're just fine. You better get interested in landing on the ground pretty soon, because turbulent skies are ahead. No believer has a get-out-of-trouble-free card in life. Jesus said, in the world you will have what? Tribulation, trouble. Can you dance through life without trials? You could sooner run through a rainstorm without the drops hitting you. There is no perfect umbrella for this life. Life presents a rainstorm of trials. Some days are sunny. Some days, though, are stormy. And some of them really poor, don't they? Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12, anyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, there's a guarantee you get, persecution, if you're good and godly. You're going to get trials. You're going to get them this month. You're going to get them next year. And I don't mean to make light of that. You're going to get them in school, if you're in school. You're going to get them at the workplace. You're going to get them in the home. You might get them in your own body. You're going to get it in your bank account. Maybe even at play. You can break a leg. Just here at Hope Bible Church, we have a lot of prayer requests, right? Several new, unexpected, serious health needs. You know, when you go through something like that, you instantly become, whether you like it or not, an example to everyone else that's trying to support and pray for you and also watch you. How are you handling the trial? Didn't ask for it, but you got it. We've seen some people lose their jobs this past year. We've also seen a lot of auto accidents recently. Have you noticed that? Behind the scenes, there are counseling needs going on. Many, of course, realize that they don't have the relationships in the life that in their life that they'd hoped, the friends that they'd hoped for. Most trials that we get are sudden, and they're unexpected. Notice that word, verse 2, encounter. When you encounter. When you encounter. This word gives us a graphic understanding of how trials arrive. Encounter translates the Greek verb parapipto. It's a compound verb from a preposition peri, you know, it means around, and the verb pipto, which means to fall. I think here the New King James Version has it translated correctly. It says, when you fall into diverse trials. That's a good translation. The picture is of someone walking along, doing fine, and then they just, whoop, they fall down into something, and immediately they're surrounded by something that they did not expect. The ESV has it that when you meet various trials, not encounter. I don't think that's quite as colorful as parapipto. It's the same word that's used in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 of the man who was on the road down to Jericho and he fell in among a bunch of robbers and then was helped by the Good Samaritan. Remember that? He didn't see him coming. He's just going along his way down to the road. He's got his plans for the day, his business, whatever he needs to do. And then they come out of the mountains, out of the cliffs. They surround him. They beat him up. They steal from him and leave him there to die until the Good Samaritan came along. He fell into trouble. That's how it is. That's how it is with you and me, right? One day you're going along fine, and then thump, you're in the thick of it. Sometimes you're in bed, pillow, you got, you know, it's nice in bed. There are no trials in bed. You're just laying there, it's nice. You don't want to even put the toe out. You don't want to acknowledge there's a world out there beyond the dream world. You're having a good time right there in bed. Because, you know, once you put the foot out, who knows what you're going to run into that day. It's risky waking up in the morning. You go along and you're as happy as a lark and you run into a belligerent person. I always tell myself, I try to tell myself, you know, that person's got to live with themselves for longer than I have to deal with them. You know, you're facing a financial headache. You know, my wife brings me sometimes bad financial news and I take it out on her. What? No, that's not right. You counted wrong. Your math is bad. You know, you double your health insurance and you didn't even vote for Obamacare. It just hit you. Boom. You're flat on the back with a sickness. You never saw that coming, did you? You're staring at a totaled car. Did you wake up this, you know, think, well, this week I'm going to total my car. And you're shaking all over from the impact of it, and it's hurt your neck, and there are repercussions. Or you get verbally assaulted for your faith. You dropped in it. You're surrounded by a trial. James says, oh, it's going to rub you the wrong way still. Consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. I know you're not convinced yet. I don't expect you to be convinced yet. I still got a lot more to preach. That's okay. There's more to come. Ironically, most people consider it pure joy when they escape a trial. Right? The exact opposite. Oh, man, that didn't happen to me. You look over at the other side and it's backed up 10 miles and all you can think of is, I'm so glad I'm on this side of the road. You know? I have pure joy, pure joy. You're laughing because you know it's true. I don't want us to misunderstand James again, so I'm going to keep qualifying what I'm saying. James is not teaching that trials are to be sought after. Christians are not to be storm chasers, looking for trouble. By no means does he say rush headlong into trials. He doesn't even say try to speed up the arrival of trials. Suffering is not something to seek. Christianity is not an ascetic life. Sure, we have discipline, but we're not supposed to beat our body and starve ourselves and all of that. And he certainly does not mean that we should bring trials upon ourselves by doing something foolish. If you break the law, you deserve the consequences of your actions. That's not what he's talking about. What James means is that you don't really have to go looking for trouble in life. Trouble is a supreme, superb hound dog. It will find you. It will hunt you down and you will have trouble. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. That's exactly what we think. Why is this strange thing happening to me? And for the younger people, just want you to know, trials do not lessen with time. You think you have it terrible as a teenager. It's going to get worse. Being an adult is harder. And here's a little thing for you. Every adult was once a teenager. So they kind of know. And you'll be saying the same thing one day when you're old like us. If you have the dreamy notion that you're going to grow up, get your college degree, find a pleasant career with a great work schedule, buy a house with a sports car in the driveway, pool in the backyard, vacation often and retire early, and live happily ever after with your sweetie. This verse is your alarm clock. Wake up. A peaceful, easy life is a myth. It's even a myth for many of the rich. Money doesn't buy happiness. I know you probably don't believe that either. It really doesn't buy happiness. Some of the most discontent people are the rich. Money cannot heal sicknesses that the rich have to face. Money doesn't stop aging. Money doesn't make people love you. I know, that paints sort of a gloomy picture. Isn't there anything to look forward to? Of course there is. That's the point. Now let's go back to consider it all joy. Please notice that is an imperative. It is a command. Normally, when we think of God's commandments, we think of some other ethical area, like don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, be faithful to your wife. We don't think that God would actually give us a commandment when we face a difficulty. I mean, what's that doing in there? Just suffer through it, endure it, but here's a command, an imperative. Consider it all joy. And particularly, it is a command that is aimed at how we are to think about our trials. We are to consider it or count it to be or reckon it to be all joy. This is a positive, optimistic, hopeful, future-looking kind of a command. There's something joyful to look forward to when the trials hit. Oh, sure, I know, Pastor. Just put the face on with the smile at church. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. But leave me to moan and groan through my trials throughout the week. No, that's not what James is saying. He says, count it all joy. Pasan karan, literally all joy. The NIV has a nice translation, pure joy or complete joy. In fact, all joy is how the sentence in Greek starts. The joy is the most emphasized thought in the sentence. We've actually been working backwards through the sentence. All joy, consider it to be, is what James writes. Joy is prominent in the verse. The Holy Spirit here is urging us to have real joy, not phony joy. Yet again, let us take a moment to understand what James does not command here. James is not commanding feel it all joy. He is not commanding a mere feeling of happiness, a forced kind of smile, a fake emotion. It refers to a joy that comes from within the will. You choose to be joyful. We are not told to be happy when we hear someone that we love has cancer. We're not told to gleefully jump up and down when we're being evicted from our home. We don't have to be excited about increased taxes or health insurance premiums or bad neighbors or whatever. Nor does he teach that trials are all joy in and of themselves. This is not a game of pretending that Christianity is trying to push our minds into. We are not being commanded to dream away bad times. Leave that for the Christian scientists, Christian science cult, I mean. This does not mean we should be happy when we have pain. That's not the point. God is not a masochist who enjoys inflicting pain on his children. But when the pain is rightly handled, that is what brings the increase and the praise from God. It's not the suffering that brings us joy. It's the fruit that comes through the suffering, brothers. Nor does all joy mean that we are commanded to have nothing but joy and there's no room for any other emotion in our hearts. Some sorrow or grief when a loved one is lost is surely expected and human. Even the Lord Jesus demonstrated that. Even he groaned when he had to put up with so much unbelief from the part of his disciples. Rather, all joy expresses the intensity or the purity of the joy, not the exclusivity of the joy. James is calling for real joy, great joy, true joy, not nothing but joy. A parallel use in terms of the grammar is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, where it says, in all fear, respond to your masters with a sincere fear, a wholehearted kind of reverence is the point. This tells us then that real joy comes from faith, not from our circumstances, right? If you need money to make you happy, you will never know the joy of Jesus Christ. If you need comfort to lift your spirits, what will happen when the comfort is gone? The joy of the Lord transcends all of that. It's powerful, it's deep. It's able to enrich life in a way that nothing else can. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. We need to experience more joy. But you don't get it by happy circumstances. How do you get God's joy? Well, once again, we're back to the command. Consider. Consider it to be joy. That very verb there is one that emphasizes careful thought. Give your hard situation careful judgment. Deliberate about it within your soul. Don't try to ignore the trial. Pretend it's not there. Pretend it's not there. Don't try to pretend it's just going to go away next day. Face it squarely. Show some courage. Show some wisdom. And come to the right conclusion about why is that trial in my life? This is not a random case of bad luck, brothers. is no such thing. The stars are not all aligned against you from your birth. Some of you are Eeyores out there. This is not Murphy's Law following you around like a black cloud. This is not because God has forgotten you while he remembers other people. This is something that God is doing for your benefit. And it is absolutely essential that your mind thinks about each trial correctly. I love Dr. J. Adams, the biblical counselor. He says, your happiness over the event will grow out of your reasoned evaluation of it. The joy comes not only from a rainbow at the end of the storm, but valuable lessons that you learn right as the lightning is striking. Not only from the light at the end of the tunnel that you wish you could see already, but from your changed life while you're in the darkness where God placed you. James is really teaching a profound truth, a freeing and joyful thought for each of us, myself included. A proper understanding of the trials that we are going through will result in true joy, not self-pity. Self-pity. Woe is me. My life stinks. I hate my life. I can't believe God let this happen to me. Nothing ever goes well for me. Nobody understands my sorrow. Those, beloved, are defeatist statements that do not spring from faith in Jesus Christ. They do not even express reality well. Those are false doctrines which your mind latches onto and drive you into deeper and deeper despair. Dr. J. Adams again writes, I think wisely, self-pity only adds to one's misery. Self-pity is a process of self-exaltation in which one thinks that he deserves something better than what he got. If you understand your trial properly, you will pull yourself out of the cesspool of self-pity. You will see a good God managing your life with the details of life and bringing a blessing to you. Beloved, rather than moaning on and on about your situation, there is a much better response. There's a much better way to live. Why add to your own weight of misery with self-pity? Isn't the trial challenging enough? We are being taught a philosophy for handling suffering and pain. And it is a lesson that you could spend all of your money in life and never get it. It's that valuable. This is precious. It can't be bought with money. Learn it, and nothing will destroy your life. There'll be nothing that can be brought against you. You'll be able to handle everything in life. It's that precious. You say, well, but what are we supposed to see in our trials that brings us joy? I've been listening for 45 minutes now. I've been listening. I haven't quite heard the joy yet in my trial. It's right there in front of you. It's verse 3 and verse 4. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces or works endurance. And let endurance have its work so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I want you to read those words this week. I want you to meditate on those words this week, would you? What do they mean? Why are they so precious? Why are they so wonderful? What is in there that looks just kind of like another verse that's so precious? Lord willing, I'll bring that message next week.
Trials may be inevitable, but they aren't useless. These difficulties you'll face produce in your endurance a stronger faith. Trials draw you closer to God and deeper in your walk with Him. Pastor Tom reminded you in his message today to allow God to minister to you through the hard times and to turn to Him for the comfort you desire. You can get through this with the help of your Heavenly Father. We're blessed to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners through the ministry of Discover Hope. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or if you have more questions, we invite you to visit the What Does It Mean to Be a Christian page under the About Us at hopebible.org. This will provide you with a concise description of why you need Jesus in your life and how you can be free from sin. We'd like to speak and pray with you too, so please give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. Again, that's 443-200-HOPE. Pastor Tom will be continuing his discussion on trials and faith when you join us next time on Discover Hope. The trials you face are a refining process, just as gold is refined through fire. Your faith, in fact, is more valuable than gold. Pastor Tom will make sure you know that your Heavenly Father is looking out for you through this process and is excited to see you growing and changing. His love for you never fails. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebible.org. And be sure to join us again, right here on Discover Hope.